Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over what is happening in the Treasury market. I really think this is the big news of the day. Let's head over to CNBC and check this out. The 10-year Treasury right now is trading at 2.66%. So this in and of itself is big news. Look at what we can see what it's done today, just straight down. Considering the Fed is talking about rate hikes. We just did a story on how Bullard came out, and even Neil Cash Carey, the biggest dove in the history of the planet Earth, in the history of central banking, even is now very, very hawkish. And what is the 10-year Treasury doing? Basically giving them the middle finger. I mean, it's just bizarre, but every single time they raise rates, the 10-year Treasury goes down, even in the lead up to it. Even though that's priced into the market, the 10-year Treasury continues to go down. How can this be the Fed's influence on the Treasury market? Now, I get it that there's a great argument for the Fed taking so much supply off the market. In the past, I mean, heck, their balance sheet's at what, $8, $9 trillion? So there's a lot of treasuries on that balance sheet. A lot of 10-year treasuries, most likely, on the balance sheet. But let's say that supply went online. Okay, then rates go up to what, 3.5%? But the trajectory is what I'm talking about. The trend, I think even if there's an argument that interest rates would be higher, I don't think they'd be dramatically higher if the Fed had never purchased those treasuries in the first place. I'm talking about just the 10-year specifically. And I still think the trend would be the same, even if it was coming down from a slightly higher rate. And this is just, it's really shocking. And if you think about what the Fed's trying to do, this is where it gets very bizarre. They're trying to bring down the rate of inflation, or so they say, by raising interest rates. Okay, how does the Fed funds rate affect the mortgage rate you pay? It doesn't. That mortgage rate, to a certain degree, is going to be based on the 10-year Treasury. So how does this work out? How do we fight inflation when interest rates in the real economy are actually going down, not up? At the end of the day, does it matter what's happening with Fed funds? Not really. What matters is what's happening in the real economy. That's where the consumer price inflation is. So I don't know how they can sit there on one hand and say, we're going to get tough on inflation, when the only way they can get tough on inflation is raising rates at the front end. And every time they raise rates on the front end, the long end, which is more applicable to the real economy, goes down as far as yields. That's my first thought. And I don't know if the people at the Fed, they're definitely smart enough to understand this. Are they coherent enough? What I mean by that is, are they so absorbed into their models, formulas, and everything that they've learned while getting their PhD out of textbooks? Are they so absorbed by that that they can't even see this through the lens of simple common sense? I don't know. I think that's a big question that I've always had. And I guess until I get the opportunity to interview Jerome Powell or Neil Cash Carey or Bullard, I guess we'll never know. We'll continue to speculate. But let's continue, because this is not the only shocking thing that's happening right now in the Treasury market. And by the way, shockingly bearish. So where's the two-year? Because let's remember, that's the big spread that we usually look at in terms of an inversion of the yield curve, which would predict to a 95% probability that we go into a recession within the next 18 months. And remember, when I first started talking about the inversion of the curve, this was maybe, what, 4 or 5 months ago? Everyone on Twitter was saying, oh, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it only inverted for 5 days, and it only inverted by 2 basis points. And I'm like, yeah, but that's usually what it does at the beginning. They're like, oh, it doesn't even matter until the curve inverts for more than a week. Okay, well, the curve's been inverted for what? Josh, help me out with this. The twos and the tens have been inverted now for, what, 2 months? A month and a half? Something like that? 6 weeks? So how long do the twos and the tens need to be inverted before everyone that's got half a brain is like, okay, well, this is telling us something. This is a very bearish signal. I mean, do we have to be inverted for 6 months? Where's the line in the sand? But that's just the twos and the tens. So let me go over to the twos here at 3.05. So we've got an inversion of, call it 35, 30, maybe 40, almost 40 basis points, which is to say that's significant is like the understatement of the largest understatement in economic history. But it gets even more bizarre. Let's go to the 1 year, 3.11. So the 1 year and the 2 year are inverted by, call it 6 basis points, 6, 7 basis points. So what message is this sending? In my opinion, if the 2 year continues to go down, but still inverted with the 10 year and the 1 year, the delta there continues to go up, this, and obviously I'm no expert here, I'm just some blowhard on YouTube, but this would lead me to believe the market is telling us the Fed is going to be lowering rates sooner than later. And when I mean sooner than later, I mean maybe by the end of 2022, maybe the beginning of 2023, where if you listen to the Fed, they're sitting there telling you, oh no, we're going to be tough on rates. We're going to continue to raise. Who knows? We'll keep raising until 2025, or we don't even know. We're just going to keep raising rates forever. Just believe us. Don't worry about it. We're getting tough on inflation. And we're going to raise rates to infinity and beyond. And we're never going to get into recession because we are such geniuses that we will be able to raise rates at a level that is so precise that it will never affect economic activity. At least we're never going to tell you that it's affecting economic activity. And that's the only thing that matters. Getting back to the yield curve, the 6 month, 2.95. So the 6 month is getting very close to the 2 year. And the 6 month is 30 basis points higher than the 10 year. The 6 month, 30 basis points roughly, higher than the 10 year as far as the inversion. I don't know how you can have a more bearish sign than this, other than maybe if Fed funds was higher than the 10 year. Which we've seen in the past, not the recent past, but we have seen that before. So now we get over to the 3 month, 2.45. Okay, but I think what's even more interesting is the 1 month. So just before we went live here, Josh and I were looking up what the reverse repo rate is right now, with the Fed being the counterparty. So what rate is the Fed saying we will borrow your money at this rate, which should be slightly lower than IOER because that's kind of the way the Fed sets the baseline or the floor for interest rates, or that's how they try to set the floor for interest rates. So Josh, do you want to chime in here and tell us?
Yeah, right. I'm sharing my screen right now and it's at 2.3%.
So they're offering at 2.3%. Okay, let's go back to the 1 month treasury at 2.11. So I'm no math genius, but that's about a 20% delta or 20 basis point delta between where the Fed, the almighty Fed, the central bank, the center of the economic universe, is trying to keep a floor on rates. So if the one-month treasury is trading at 20 basis points lower. And I've talked to both Joseph Wang and Jeff Snyder about this. And when I spoke with Joseph Wang, he said, yes, it's, but the 1 month often trades slightly lower as far as the yield than reverse repo, even though that's the Fed trying to create a floor on interest rates. Why? Because there's a lot of entities that don't have access to reverse repo. And those entities, the money market funds themselves might charge a spread. So that spread is going to be factored into the actual rate. But this was when there was about a 4 or 5 basis point delta, not a 20 basis point delta. And Josh made a fantastic point. when we were talking prior to recording. And he said, okay, well, if the spread is large enough, even if you're an offshore entity that doesn't have access to reverse repo, to reverse repo, instead of buying the 1 month treasury, why wouldn't you take that $1 billion and just put it into a money market fund that does have access to reverse repo when you're only paying them, let's say, 5 basis points? So if you had $1 billion, you got two choices. Either you could give it to a money market fund that has access to reverse repo, and let's say they have access at 2.3, you pay them a 5% 5 basis point spread. So now you're getting, let's say, 2.25 on your money. Your other option is to buy 1 month treasuries at 2.11. So call it 14 basis points less than you would get by giving that same $1 billion to a money market fund that had access to the Fed's reverse repo. That doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? So the reason you would do this is because collateral is tight. They need collateral. They need more and more and more and more collateral. Well, if the monetary system needs more and more and more and more collateral, what does this tell you? This tells you that the perceived counterparty risk most likely is going up for a variety of reasons. You could have the collateral multiplier going down, meaning they're not rehypothecating as much as they normally would. Well, why would they do this? Because there's more counterparty risk. And if you're lending to someone that's a collateralized loan and you see that person is a greater risk for default, what are you going to do? You're going to say, okay, well, I need more collateral, or I need a higher interest rate. If you can't afford the higher interest rate, you got to give me more collateral. So then that person has to go out and find more collateral. Okay. Well, that's a 1 month T-bill. So then if they want that loan, if they want that liquidity, well, they're going to have to pay a high price. In other words, they're going to have to pay, or they're going to have to receive a lower interest rate than what you could get at reverse repo, even if you had to go about it in a roundabout way by putting it in a money market fund, as far as that those dollars, right? So this is a dynamic, this meaning the entire treasury curve here, from the 10-year to the 3-month, that is just screaming bearish signals and just telling you the Fed is wrong. The Fed might think they're going to continue to raise rates for the next 2 years. They may think that they're going to be hawkish, but just like when they said inflation was transitory, or when they said that doing QT would be like watching paint dry, or when they said that subprime is contained, you picked the famous quote. But this time, it's not going to be different. This time, it's going to be the exact same. And the exact same, and what the market, I think, is the bond market, the treasury market, is telling us, is that when we look back on this in 6 months, a year, 2 years, the Fed once again will not only be proven wrong, but made to look like fools. That's what the treasury yield curve is telling us. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you on the next video.